good to be back. Good to be back here at Highland Heights and worship together as the family of God. If you're visiting with us, then we want to welcome you today. We would absolutely love it if you took out one of those cards that you see in front of you and fill that out. That's just so we can express our appreciation for you being here with us this morning. The Church of Jesus Christ, as we've been talking about for the past several weeks, is an unstoppable force with an unstoppable message, because behind it all is an unstoppable God. This morning we're going to continue our series called The Unstoppable Church, looking at biblical principles that we specifically find within the early church. That we see within the first pages of the book of Acts that helps us to see how the church is an unstoppable force with an unstoppable message and an unstoppable God. First of all, take out your Bible with me and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. We're going to be looking at one of those biblical principles this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. Now, this isn't our primary lesson text for the morning, but it's very crucial to understand what Paul says in this passage so that we can understand what he says within our primary text of interest. Look with me in verse 24 through 27, a very familiar passage to us. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Now, I used to think that the prize and the imperishable wreath that Paul makes mention of here, he's referring to his own personal salvation and his own entrance into heaven. I formerly thought that he was saying that he trains and he disciplines his body like an athlete, participates in rigorous training so that he would not personally fall away and personally be lost, but be saved and be in heaven with Jesus. I thought the primary focus on this passage was Paul and his own personal salvation, and the application was for me in my life to discipline my body and myself and keep myself under control so that I myself personally can experience relationship with God forever. However, that's not what Paul specifically has in view within this context. He isn't primarily saying that he disciplines his flesh so that he may personally receive the prize of salvation. He has something much more grand in mind. And you can see it when you read what he says previously. And what he says previously is our primary lesson text for the morning. Look with me in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19. Let's read verses 19 through 23 together. Paul says this, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all," Paul says, "for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Paul says that he does everything in his power that as many people as possible might be saved. That's what he says here. So that he may share with them in the blessings of the good news. Brothers and sisters, that's the prize. That's the wreath that Paul has in view within the previous passage. This is the prize that a Christian disciplines himself in order to receive. This is the wreath that a follower of Jesus keeps herself under control so that she may gain fellowship. Fellowship with as many people as possible, no matter who they are or where they come from, together under the banner of Jesus Christ. That's the prize, and that's the attitude that the unstoppable church embraces. The unstoppable church doesn't see its own individual, personal fellowship with God as the chief primary goal, as the reason it remains disciplined. The unstoppable church, rather, sees fellowship with all people together with Jesus as the chief primary goal, as the prize, as the wreath, and as the reason why it disciplines itself. And Satan wins a major victory when our hearts are not set on that prize. Now, what I want to talk about this morning: how does the unstoppable church do that? How does it attempt to seek that prize, that wreath? How does the unstoppable church win fellowship with others, especially with those who are much different than they? Well, Paul tells us the answer in verse 22. Look with me there. 1 Corinthians 9:22. We just read it a moment ago. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. He says this: I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Brothers and sisters, this is how the unstoppable church pursues that beautiful prize of fellowship with God, and not just individually with God, but with other people, which is the end goal of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ. The unstoppable church becomes all things to all people. And this is what we're going to talk about this morning: what it means specifically to be all things to all people, so that we, as a body of believers, as the church that meets here at Highland Heights, can be obedient to Jesus Christ and become the unstoppable church, an unstoppable force in this community. So what does this mean, becoming all things to all people? Now, to clarify, before we jump into what it specifically means, I think we need to talk about what it does not mean very briefly. Number one, what all being all things to all people does not mean, it does not mean to compromise the message in order to win people. We do not believe at all in compromising, in changing the message of the gospel in any way. Paul speaks of that very harshly in the book of Galatians. That's not at all what it means to become all things to all people, to change the message in order to be appealing to people, in order that people may come among us and be satisfied and be filled, change just a little bit of what we believe. That's not what Paul has in view, and that's not what we are saying here. Secondly, what being all things to all people does not mean, it does not mean to deliberately sin or accept sin to win the approval of others. Again, that's not what Paul has in view here, and that's not what we're talking about this morning. Rather, what it means to be all things to all people, I have 3 points here. Number one, use your freedoms, the freedoms that Jesus Christ has given to you, living under the law of Christ, use those freedoms for the ultimate spiritual good of your neighbor. Look with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 9:19. We read it a moment ago. Let's read it again. For though Paul says, I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. Now, if you look at the broader context within this passage, within chapter 8, 9, and 10 of 1 Corinthians, in this block of text, Paul mentions several of the freedoms that he has been given while living under the law of Jesus Christ. One of those freedoms is the freedom to buy and eat meat that was previously sacrificed to an idol in private homes. And he talks about that in chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. An idol is nothing. An idol is not a god. An idol represents it's absolutely nothing. An idol, its power can't be compared to the power of the Almighty God that we worship and serve. And Paul says that we've been given the freedom to eat meat that has been sacrificed to idols in private homes in a private setting. He also mentions the freedom to marry that he has been given while living under the law of Christ and take his bride along with him on his missionary journeys. If you look in chapter 9, verse 4, he mentions that. And he also mentions the freedom that he's been given by Jesus, the freedom to receive funds from the church for his personal work in spreading the gospel message. He says it's lawful for me to receive payment for the work that I do in advancing the gospel. He also talks about that in chapter 9. However, what Paul does, how he views this freedom that he has, is completely contrary to the way our culture views freedom. Paul says that he used his freedoms in Jesus to become a servant to all men. Look at what he says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23 through 24. 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 24. He says, and remember the context here, we can easily take this out of context. Verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. So to Paul, all these issues, and that's the context in which he says these things in verse 23 and 24, all of these issues were not unlawful for him to receive. Marriage, food sacrificed to idol in a private setting, receiving payment for the work that he does to advance the gospel, receiving a salary. He's free to receive all of those things. He was free in Christ to exercise them. But he believed that exercising his own rights for his personal enjoyment, for his personal satisfaction, was not what Christian freedom was all about. In our culture today, in our society, our American idea of freedom, when we say that we're a free people and we live in a free nation, all of that's an extreme blessing. But what we think about oftentimes, our idea of freedom has to do with our liberty, our personal freedom, our personal liberty to pursue our rights no matter what others say or no matter what others think. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I don't care what it does. I have this right that I have been given because I live in a free country, and I have that right to exercise it no matter what anybody else thinks or says. That's our idea of American kind of freedom. But biblical freedom promotes a much different idea. True Christian freedom, in Paul's mind, was the freedom to surrender. It was the freedom to surrender his rights for a greater good. Paul says that he was free to do whatever it took to love his neighbor for Jesus' sake, even if it meant giving up a particular freedom that was not unlawful for him to practice. If it meant not receiving payment for his work so that he wouldn't look like one of those false teachers who demanded large sums of money from their followers, which would cause the gospel message to lose credibility and which would put a stumbling block in the way of the advancement of the gospel, then Paul would gladly work night and day and slave away night and day to support himself and preach the gospel so that his neighbors would be receptive to Jesus. That's how Paul used his freedom. If it meant not eating meat sacrificed to idols so that a new convert wouldn't be tempted to think that false gods such as Zeus or Hermes or Aphrodite or all these Greek or Roman gods were to be worshipped alongside of Jesus Christ, then he would humbly refuse to eat meat in the presence of the weak. He would give up his freedom so the gospel may not be hindered. If it meant refraining from marriage or bringing along a believing wife, as he says in chapter 9, so not to cause conflict in the church, unnecessary, harmful conflict, then he would remain single and not bring along a believing wife. Paul used every freedom that Christ had given to him, not for self-centered, not for self-focused enjoyment, but he used his freedoms as a means for his neighbors to continue experiencing fellowship with Jesus. And this is how he glorified God. And this is what he specifically says in verse 31 of chapter 10. Look with me there. 1 Corinthians 10:31 and 32. Paul says this very familiar text within the context that we're talking about. So, verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, whatever freedom that you have, that you exercise while living in this world, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Now, what Paul had in mind when he wrote these words, as seen in the broader context of this chapter, was that we glorify God. We bring honor and glory to his name when we lay down our rights and our freedoms in order to do what is most loving for other people. For believers' progress and joy in the faith, as he says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 25, or for non-believers, so that they might be saved and embrace the gospel message. While living the Christian life, you're free. You are free to eat what is put before you. You are free to go to work. You are free to go to school. You are free to live life to the fullest. And how we can apply this principle in our context is using all of those freedoms that we have been given by Jesus to pursue the good of our neighbor. This is how we truly glorify God. And this is what it means to be all things to all people. It means to use the freedom that Jesus gives us for the ultimate spiritual good of our neighbor. And the good of your neighbor, in Paul's mind, is their eternal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It all comes back to that principle: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. In doing so, you'll become all things to all people. Now, secondly, this morning, what it means to be all things to all people, something that the Unstoppable Church attempts to do, it means to adapt yourself and the way you do things sometimes, maybe not all the time, but sometimes, to what is familiar to your neighbor. Now, human nature shows us that, and you probably heard this many times before, birds of a feather flock together, right? And that's very true. I mean, just as an example, go to your local high school and view the lunchroom, and you'll see that is the case. You'll see that principle in action. And then not just that, but in all kinds of settings. Human nature, it also shows us that people naturally have these walls in their hearts, walls of skepticism in place when encountering something that's unfamiliar, when encountering something that's different than what they are used to, different than what they are accustomed to. To achieve this prize that Paul has in view within 1 Corinthians 9, the prize of fellowship with others and Jesus through the gospel, we need to somehow tear down these walls. Notice with me how Paul did that. Notice with me how Paul tore down the walls and achieved this prize of fellowship with others and God. Look in 1 Corinthians 9:20 through 22. Verse 20 says in chapter 9, "To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak." When Paul, he's saying that when he was with Jews, when he was in a group of Jewish people, he behaved like a Jew. He observed certain parts of the law of Moses in their presence, not because he himself was under that law, not because he was obligated by command from God to follow the law of Moses, but so that Jews would listen to him and take his message seriously. Likewise, when Paul was with Gentiles, he adopted and practiced Gentile customs so that he could find common ground with them in order to win them to Jesus Christ. Now remember, as we said previously, Paul never accepted sin or did anything that would compromise the gospel message, but rather what he does in this major principle of what it takes to become the unstoppable church, Paul adapted himself when encountering those who were different so that those walls of skepticism would come crumbling down. And so the gospel would have a clear, easy pathway into the hearts of all people. To be all things to all people means to not be married to a certain cultural identity, but to step out of what is familiar to us and attempt to experience life from another person's perspective in order to influence them and advance the gospel message within the world. In Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he uses this principle over and over and over and over again. One of those instances was in the book, he tells of a story of a time where he was seated next to a botanist when he was at some kind of a fundraiser dinner. And he said he was a little intimidated at first sitting by this person because he had virtually nothing in common with this botanist, and he didn't care at all about botany. I mean, who cares about botany? Sorry to offend you if you care about botany, but maybe some of you do, and that's probably a good thing. But he says that in the book that he had no interest whatsoever in botany. I mean, that was something that would completely bore him to tears. But what he did, he said he sat there for 4 hours asking him questions about his passion, about his perspective, about what he was interested in. And this man told him all about certain plants and how they worked and how, I don't know anything about botany, but how botany works. But by the end of that dinner, Dale Carnegie said he won a very close friendship with somebody that he had nothing in common with just because he showed interest in another person's passion. Now, this is a major way that we, in our context, can practice this principle. We can practice being all things to all people in this way in our world by simply showing interest in what others are interested in, even though it might not be all that interesting to us. And when we do this, when we step out of what is familiar to us and enter into another person's world, what we're doing is that we are communicating to that person that we truly and sincerely care about them. And that is absolutely crucial for the gospel message to be advanced, and those walls of skepticism come crumbling down. So, to be all things to all people, adapt yourself at times and the way you do things to what is familiar to your neighbor. Step outside of yourself and attempt to experience life from another person's perspective. That is what the unstoppable church attempts to do. And that's what it means to be all things to all people. Lastly, this morning, as we close, elevate all people's embrace of the good news to a level of supreme importance within your heart. Now, this last point is really what being all things to all people really boils down to. And this is what Paul truly means when he says he's all things to all people. Believing in our hearts that this beautiful, blessed gospel that we believe, the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ and all people's acceptance of it, is the prize that we're striving for. When I was studying for this lesson several weeks ago, I originally planned to use all kinds of examples and scenarios of how we can put this into practice, because this might be a little confusing if we're attempting to do this on our own. So I originally had a lot of illustrations and examples and life experiences how I have put this into practice. But the more that I thought about it and the more that I prayed about this lesson, the more I realized that examples and scenarios are necessary to some degree, but not completely necessary, because when the driving force of our lives becomes the salvation of every single soul, so that all people may experience what we experience in Jesus and have what we have in Jesus, then all of the how-tos, how to do this, how to apply this, and what to do in each particular situation will simply become natural expressions of what our heart truly treasures. That's what it all boils down to. Elevating people's embrace of what you have to a level of the most important thing to you in your life, so that this person, that this coworker of mine that I have nothing in common with, that I really, in my flesh and in my natural state, have no care in the world for, elevating my belief that I want to see that person with me in heaven. Elevating that mindset, that attitude, to a level of supreme importance. If we have that attitude, if that is our mindset, And this is a growth process, if we're growing in this, then how we practically apply all things to all people in our particular life situations will naturally fall into place. If you want to be an unstoppable disciple of Jesus, elevate this good news and all people's acceptance of it to a level of supreme importance, and you will naturally become all things to all people in every aspect of your life. When we do this, when we become all things to all people, we communicate to the world that we truly, sincerely, deeply believe that they are a people immeasurably valuable. And this is the way that we need to be if we truly desire to be the unstoppable church of Jesus Christ, to be obedient to Jesus, and to become all that He wants us to be. This morning, if you have any need, if you have a prayer request, something that you're struggling with that you would like to be let known, you can come forward and make that known this morning. Or if you're not in Jesus Christ, if you're lost, you have an opportunity right now to believe in His name, to repent of your sins. Commit right now to do a 180 in your life, to do things God's way. You can come forward in just a moment when we sing this song. I'll come to the front. Or if you're if you feel awkward about doing it in front of a bunch of people, that's okay. You can just talk to me or one of our elders in the back. You can confess faith in Jesus Christ, and you can be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins and know Jesus Christ and have eternal security that you are His and He is yours. You can do that today if you have need as we stand and as we sing.